We left off to the bottom of Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara was discussing the sugya of if I ask somebody to bring money for me, somebody to move it on Shimon money, and ladies coming from the third party to represent and to collect the money. What are some of the parameters of those halachos? The Gemara continues with the story on Daf Yud Aleph. It's about 8 or 9 lines from the bottom. The first one's lines are Sheshes. So Sheshes habli asharta the disciple the mamachuza. That Rav Sheshes had money that was owed to him for some product that he had sold. So sabal is some kind of a garment. Rashi gives you the old French word kuf vav tes. What do you think that means? A coat or not? I can't tell you, but something along those lines. A coat. So Rav Sheshes had money that was owed him for merchandise that he had sold in Machuza. So Rav Sheshes wasn't particularly interested in traveling to Machuza. So he asked Rav Yosef Rachama, who happened to be going there, how did the Osis, when you're going there anyway, so I see the Ali, so do me a favor, go collect the money from the Chevre Machuza, over the money. So also, so he went, Rav Yosef Rachama went to Machuza, Yavinulei, so they were going to give him the money, but Amalei, they said to him, Nikte Minoch. So they said to Rabbi Yosef, we're not going to give you the money unless you accept upon yourself responsibility for the money. They were shrewd businessmen. They didn't want to start. They're going to give him $1,000 in cash, and he's going to go travel. You know, the money's going to get lost, and then Rav Sheshes is going to come and ask for the money again. So they insisted, we'll only give you the money if you obligate yourselves to be totally responsible for that money during the course of its travels. So I'm going to go in. So Yosef is a nice fellow. He said, okay, good. No problem. I'm going to We'll get the paperwork ready. I'm going to obligate myself to take responsibility for that money. So then Rabbi Yosef finagled away that he didn't actually see them. He never got around to obligating himself. So he had taken the money and he was returning the money back to Rav Sheshes, which was the right thing to do anyway. They were obligated to pay the money. They wanted Rabbi Yosef to go the extra mile and accept responsibility for that. So Rabbi Yosef somehow avoided that responsibility. So when he came to Rav Sheshes and he brought him the money, Rav Yosef told him the whole story that they had wanted him to accept responsibility. He had told him yes, and then he had ignored them. He avoided them. So Rav Sheshes said to him, "Shap avdus lo shavus nafshich eved level ishvalba." So Rav Sheshes said that was a good thing that he did. That was a smart thing to do, because otherwise you would have been mechayev yourself. And the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Eved level ishvalba alone." That someone borrows money, they're like an eved. They're indebted to somebody. Like, why would you have to be indebted to anybody? You didn't even borrow any money from anybody. You're the nice guy. You're trying to do me a favor. You should get yourself into trouble. So you were smart that you avoided them. Lishnachrina, there was another version of what Rav Sheshes said to him. Shape of this. It's a good thing that you did that, that you didn't obligate yourself, because Evid Lovel Ishmael, because they were the lowest. They're the ones who owed me money. They're the ones who didn't pay for the merchandise on time. So they were the ones who should have accepted upon themselves the responsibility of the derech. Now he went to another story, somewhat of a fascinating story. With Achi Berevi Eishia, Havalei Ispeko de Kaspa ben Hadot. That Rav Achi Ben Yoshia had a kli, some kind of a utensil that was made of silver in the Hadot. So once again, he wasn't interested in traveling to the Hadot. So he said to the following top of your dollar days, Amalul Rabbi Dustoy Berevi Rabbi Yossi Bar Kippur, he said to these following two people with little Tanoi, destroyed Rabbi Yossi Bar Kippur. How did they ask Sisu, when you go and travel to Nardot, ask you an Eli, do me a favor and bring it for me, the same kind of a thing. So also, he went, they went, they traveled, Yavin Eli, and they were ready to give it to these two people who were going to be the agents to bring the silver vessel back. They said to the people who owed the silver vessel, the people who were giving them the silver vessel, Niknu Minaycho. He said, wait a second, we want you to obligate yourself. The same story. And again, same shrewd businessman. I don't want to give you something that you're going to go travel with. It's going to get lost. And then the fellow's going to turn around and say, you never received it. So we want you to sign on the dotted line. We want you to accept it by yourself, all responsibility. So Omri Luhu, so these two Tanoim Rabbi Dustoy and Rabbi Yossi said, "Lo," said, "we are not interested. We don't want to. We don't want to obligate ourselves." So Omri Luhu, the story didn't end there. So Omri Luhu, Ahadre Nihalon. So So then the people who had given the silver vessel said, okay, you don't want to sign the dotted line. Give it back, please. We're not sending this. We're not sending no silver on a trip to Babel if you're not willing to sign that you are responsible for it. So Rabbi Dustoy, Rabbi Yadi, Amalu in. So Rabbi Dustoy, Rabbi Yadi said, okay, I'll give it back to you. Rabbi Yossi Bar Keeper, Amalu lo. Rabbi Yossi said, I'm not giving it back to you. Why didn't Rabbi Yossi Bar Keeper want to give it back to them? Because he felt that Rabbi Aloch, he wasn't allowed to do so. Because once they had given the silver back to these agents, so these agents had now been zeicha on it, they had been kodeh it on behalf of Rabbi Achi, on behalf of the original owner of the silver. So now when they try to play games and say, we want you to obligate yourselves, and unless you obligate yourself, we're going to ask him back, that's geneva. They're taking back the silver that was due to the original owner. So Rabbi Yossi refused to cooperate. So havu kam b'tzarulei. So these guys were not such simple people to deal with. I was going to explain, you know, tough fellas once they give up the silver. So they were pestering him. They were bothering Rabbi Yossi and saying, "You better give it to him. You better give it to back to us." So Amalei Chazi Mar Hechika Avid. So then turned to the other one, to Rabbi Dustoy, who had agreed to give it back. And they said to him, "Look at this guy. Look at this Rabbi Yossi. Look at what he's doing to us." So Amalu Tav Ramalei. So Rabbi Yossi said, "Yeah, it's okay. Coerce him. Push him. Push him. Keep on pressuring him to give it back." So a very, very strange story. So L'chaora, the one who didn't want to give the item back was in the right. He was doing the correct thing. He was doing the honest thing. He was protecting the interests of the original owners of that silver. So why did the Tana, who did give in, who went along, who buckled under the pressure, why did he succumb to the pressure, number one? And number two is, why did he encourage them to keep on pressuring the other fellow? So So when they arrived back, so Rabbi Yossi, who was being pressured, was standing the pressure, said to his colleague, "It's bad enough that he didn't help me. He didn't stand up to help me." Yeah, I think in the end they did bring back. So Ella Amalu Nami Tabramalay. So he said, "Why did you tell them to keep on pushing me?" He said, "That wasn't so nice." So Amalay, so Rabbi Dustoy was standing in the back. So I'm sorry, why did you do this? Amalay, Usam Bnei Adam. So Rabbi Dustoy explained why he succumbed to the pressure. He said to Rabbi Yossi, "You don't know these guys. I've dealt with these mafia guys. These are tough guys." I'm like, also many of them, Hain Amma, they are, here the Gemara is going to give a very poetic and very dramatic description of what these fellows look like. And Rabbi Yossi is going to explain why exactly, the story is going to explain why he succumbed to their pressure. So they're Amma. What does an Amma mean? An Amma is not so tall. But Amma is a phrase where she says, Anche Midos, like we find by Advisor Schlock, but the giants. If you say someone's an Amma, that's another way of saying, these guys are 6'8". These are big guys. The Kovat Amma. And they wear these very, very scary looking hats. Very looking, these guys are tough. These are tough guys. And when they talk, so Rashi says, they talk, it sounds like they're talking out of their stomach. Like they're talking from halfway their body. They have what to say, and you don't mess with these guys. And they have very, very tough names. Even their names, they don't sound very tender or pleasant people to deal with. So, I don't know. You have to think of some of your Western movies and think of who these guys look like. I think everyone gets the message. Their names are Arda, Ba'arta, Upile, Barosh. I'm not overly terrified by those names, but I guess if you live in Buffalo and the year 300, maybe they'd be scary. So if they tell people to lock you up, Kobsin, they'll lock you up. Omrim Harog, if they tell somebody to bump you off, Hargit, they have their guys to get the job done. Elu Hargwas Dustoy, this is Rabbi Dustoy speaking. He said, if they would have killed Dustoy, he told about himself, third person, if they would have killed Dustoy, Minasaniyane Abba Barkamosi, my father Yare never would have got another son like me. In other words, Rabbi Dustoy would say, listen, I was terrified. I was afraid for my life. That's why I gave him to these mafia fellows. So wait a second. So Rabbi Yossi is trying to figure out. Maybe Rabbi Dustoy was right. Maybe Rabbi Yossi was acting a little bit foolish. So I'm going to lay. So he said to him, Rabbi Yossi asked him, do these people have the in with the government? They're not just private guys. They have government on their side. Amalehein. So Rabbi Dustai said, yeah, they're close to the government. So Amalei said to them, I'm saying, Yeshem Susim of Pradim Shiratz Bacharein. Do they have horses and mules that they can use to run, to pursue people? Amalehein said, yeah, these guys, you don't want to mess with these guys. Amalei. So Biyos said, you know, you're talking right. You were smarter than I was. It's a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't have been such a tzaddik. But the halacha is that really wish like it did. But you know, they were afraid they were going to get killed. So they were allowed to play games a little bit of moments for that as well. So now the Gemara goes back to regular story, discussion. Continuing along the lines of what we're talking about up to now.
Is Gemara also giving an example how you should act in case of Mama? Is this a story in this particular case, meaning that with this intimidation, with this
stuff? When there's intimidation that's danger to one's life, you're allowed to weep asking halacha that I'm allowed to save my life even at the expense of somebody else's money. Whether or not I have to reimburse the fellow or not, that's an halachic thing, Mark. But everybody agrees, just not everyone agrees, that I'm not going to risk my life in order to save you a couple of dollars. Holich man liploni. Reuven says to Shimon, bring this $1,000 to Ploni. Go bring this money to Levi. Halachu biksha. So the shaliach, the agent, is going to find the recipient of the money. Belo motzei, and he doesn't find him. Why doesn't he find him? Because the recipient is no longer alive. So Reuven had appointed Shimon to give the money to Levi. By the time Shimon gets to town, brings it to Levi. Levi is no longer with us. So what happened? The one Bryce is dead, Yachsulim Shaleach. So the money goes back to the original sender, return to sender. So the reason being is that there was no mechanism that Levi was Kona the object. So Reuven, it was nice of Reuven to try to give Levi a present, but if Lamaisa Levi wasn't Kona, because Levi was dead by the time the money received, by the time the money arrived to him. So then obviously it's still, the money still belongs to Reuven, and the Shaleach has to be the money back to Reuven. There's another Bryce that says no. That the money actually goes to the ocean, goes to the heir, so the descendant of the recipient. So what's the question? So obviously the question revolves around the following issue. When Reuven handed the money to Shimon, to that shaliach, was Levi zoch on the money yet? Was there some kind of a mechanism in place that Levi acquired the money through the acceptance of Shimon? If the answer is yes, then the money rightfully belonged to Levi. When Levi dies, it goes to his heirs. If the answer is no, that the money never really belonged to Levi, so then the money still remains Reuven's, and the money goes back to Reuven. So what does that issue depend on? What mechanism in place is there that could transfer ownership of the money from Reuven to Levi? So Levi welcome it. Maybe they're arguing about the following. So if you look back at the Loshon, the language that Chazal used was that Holech Man Liploni. Reuven said to Shimon, bring this $100,000, bring this $1,000 to Levi. What does that word bring mean? So we already saw the word bring can have two meanings. Either it could mean it's mine, until you bring it to him, until it arrives to him, it's still mine. Or maybe holich means you represent the third party, you acquired it, you accepted it on his behalf, and then by doing so, you go ahead and then subsequently bring it to the third party. So if you hold that the word holich means kizochi, it's like you should acquire for him, you should own it on his behalf. The Levi already acquired it, and now it goes to his yorshim. But if you hold that holich is lav kizochi, the word holich doesn't have that connotation. It simply means physically carry this to Levi, but it won't belong to Levi until Levi actually gets his hands on it. So then here, Levi never got his hands on it because Levi died in the interim. So the Gemara thinks that that's what the machlokes is all about. It's purely a question of lashon. What the word holich is all about. So Amar Rabbi Abraham said, no, that's not necessarily true. The Kuleyama holich lav kizochi. Everybody agrees that the word holich itself doesn't necessarily mean to be zocher. So why should one opinion in the Braisa say that Levi was zocher based on what was Levi zocher on $1,000? Hello, Kasha. Habibari Habishchemira. One Bryce was talking about where the giver, where Reuven, was a healthy person, and the other's talking about when Reuven was sick, he was a shchibira. What's the difference? So we spoke about this earlier, that a healthy person wants to give a gift to somebody, it cannot be done with words alone. Halacha is ein mekach mikne bedvarim. If I just say to you, I'm going to give you $1,000, that's very nice. When I give you $1,000, it becomes your $1,000. But if the the giver is a shchimira, the giver is ill, dying, lying in bed, and he says, I want to give $1,000 to Plony, so then the sale is done right away with words alone. Why is that? So he explained that Chachamim made a special takana that we want to keep the shchimira calm. We don't want him to get agitated. We don't want him to start to say, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm not going to be able to give my gifts. I'm not going to be able to give my property away. He's going to get all upset. It's all upset. It's going to make his medical condition even worse. So therefore, Chazal made a takana that divrei shchimira kiksuvim chemesurim davi. That a shchimira who makes any request, any gift, when he wants to give to anybody, so it's binding with words alone. So the Braisa that says that when Reuven gives the money to Shimon, it says, give it to Levi. If Reuven was a shchimira, so then his words were complete, his words were done, and now it was acquired by Levi. If Levi subsequently died, then it goes to his heirs, and goes to his Yoshim. So Rav Zvid Amar, Rav Zvid said, no, not necessarily. Hava haba shchimira. That both cases, both brides are talking about where the donor, where the giver was a shchimira, where the Reuven, the one who wants to give the gift, is sick. Had the isay lemakabo b'shas matemos, had the leis lemakabo b'shas matemos. It all depends on the facts of the ground. Was the recipient of the gift alive at the time when the gift was attempted to be given? So you have three players here. You have Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Two out of the three are not doing too well. So Shimon's the only one who's in good shape. So Levi is supposed to receive this gift. And Reuven is trying to hand over this gift. So Reuven is deathly ill. So Reuven says, I'm hereby giving Shimon, give Levi, go bring Levi the money. I want this right to belong to Levi. And no kinyan was done on behalf of Levi, but the words were said on behalf of Levi. So now the question is, was Levi coned the gift or not? So it depends. If Levi was still alive when this gift was supposedly given, it was stated, then Levi was kona, he acquires the gift based on the rule of divish chibira kichsuv chimisurin. Once he acquired the gift, even though Levi subsequently dies, it goes to his heirs. But if Levi had died already, so Reuven said, I'm giving Levi a gift. It's irrelevant. Levi's not alive anymore, so you can't give a gift to someone who's no longer in this world. So the bottom line is, Rav Zvid said, all boils down to just the order of things. What happened first? If Levi was alive at the time the gift was being bequeathed, then it goes to Levi. If Levi was no longer alive, then the gift is batel mevuto. The gift was null and void, and it goes back to Reuven. But Papa Omar, the Papa said, no, there's another factor involved. Hava habibari, that it could be that we're dealing with Reuven was a healthy person. If Reuven is a healthy person, so then, wait a second, how is any kinyan chal? If Reuven is a healthy person, wants to give a gift, he has to make a kinyan. So how do words alone do the trick? So there's another halacha that was going to elaborate about a little later, called mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. When Reuven makes a statement of something, even though it wasn't technically binding, because after all, there was no mice and kinyan that was done, but if Reuven made a request, and he wasn't ill, he wasn't sick, he made a healthy request that wasn't binding, but then Reuven subsequently died. So we're supposed to be Mekayim Devar. There's a halacha mitzvah Mekayim Devar. Person made a statement, and then he subsequently died. We're supposed to follow what the wishes of the deceased were. That's halacha mitzvah Mekayim Devar. So if this halacha applies here, then Levi is going to get the property, and it's going to go to his Yerushim, based on this principle of but it depends, says Rabbi, on the order of things. Hava hava bari. Had the mis mekabel b'chayin nosen. Had the mis nosen b'chayin mekabel. So if the mekabel died while the nosen was still alive, so then the nosen statement never took hold. The nosen said, give it to Levi. So we want a mekayim devar. Levi wasn't around. So there was no mitzvah kind of image. But if the kabbalah was still around and the nose, they made the statement, give it to Levi. So then Levi was not literally zocha on it, because holich is la'av kishchi. It's not a matnish chibira, because Reuven was healthy, but there's still a principle called mitzvah l'kayim devar beis. So the bottom line is, we have a few different mechanisms to transfer money with simple words. Reuven can make a statement that give this property to Levi, and it can potentially have to go to Levi in one of three ways. Either if you hold holochus kishchi, so then Reuven giving it to Shimon is a zach the amshal b'fal of a behalf of Levi, or even if you hold holochus lav kishchi, if it's about the shchimira, but the shchimira kisum chimisurudami, or even if all that fails, if you have the criteria that are met for mitzvah kind of remes, if you subscribe to that idea, that's also a reason why Levi is going to get it. So any one of those three is going to get Levi the property.
How much time can pass between the time the guy makes the statement and the time he dies for it to be mitzvah time?
Okay, so the din of mitzvah kavdim makes a little bit tricky. Tosafot points out in other places that mitzvah kavdim makes applies in cases such as this, where the money is already sitting somewhere else. It's not like Reuven makes a statement, he got $1 million in the bank account, he says, give $100,000 to somebody, and then he dies. That's not necessarily mitzvah kavdim remes. Mitzvah kavdim remes means the money was already handed over, it was already delivered, it just hasn't quite made its last destination yet. So then you say mitzvah kavdim remes. The company one says, lema olif yishchitanohi. So our discussion about how we started the sugya, that nuance, that phrase, holik yishchi, when Reuven gives something to Shimon and says, bring it to Levi. Is that called bizocha to Levi? Or is that called just physically bring it to Levi? So lema holik yishchi tanoihi. Isn't that itself a machlekes atanoihi? The sign we learned in the following braisa. We have to keep track of all the people of this braisa. Holech mana leploni. So Reuven says to Shimon, bring money, bring the money, bring $1,000 to Levi. Veholech ubik show. And the shaliach is a nice fellow, he's doing his job. He's looking around for Levi, velo motzoi. He doesn't find him. You know why he doesn't find him? Because he's no longer alive. So yachzir l'mishalech. So then the first opinion of the Bryce says, so the money simply goes back to the mishalech. Whatever happened was null and void. The money simply goes back to the original, send back to donor. Meis mishalech. It's very complicated. This poor shalech, he's not having a good day today. He went to go bring money to Levi. He finds out Levi is no longer alive. He comes back to Reuven and finds out the Reuven is no longer alive. So Baruch Shimon, I quit with my head. But Shimon's trying to figure out who is now the rightful owner of this property. So obviously, if Reuven's dead and Levi's dead, so it's either going to go to Reuven's yorshim or to Levi's yorshim. So what do you do? So Meis Mishalech. So Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov Amru, Yachsum Yorshim Mishalech. So the two Tanur, Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov explained, it goes back to the yorshim of the Mishalech. So the Matana was null and void, as would never happen, and that just all the way returned, literally returned back to sender.
Isn't that partial?
Half the Torah don't even say it's true, because there are other factors here that it could be Levi may have acquired it based on Holik Yishchi, based on Matmash Chimimah, based on Mitzchav Yomais. There are half a dozen reasons why Levi may have acquired it and therefore now goes to his Yorshim. So the first Tanah, Rabbi Nosson of Yaakov say, goes back to the Yorshim Mishalech and not necessarily agreed upon. The Yesh Omrim, there are other Tanahim who say the Yorshim Mishalech Talcholo. The other Tanaim, this is one long braisa. The other Tanaim say that, nope, forget the opposite is true. It goes to the Yorshim of Levi, the one who was the recipient. So the first Tanaim were of the opinion that the Matana was null and void. The second Tanaim were of the opinion, nope, the Matana was not null and void. It was not Kayim, it was not Kayemis, that the Matana was valid. Now it goes to the Yorshim of the recipient of the Takana. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Oma Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Oma Mishum Rabbi Meir. So now we have a third possibility out there, that mitzvah l'kayim divrei Hameis. So out of the middle of nowhere, Rabbi Meir says, well, if Reuven died, then you should fulfill what he said. Now, we don't know what the other Tanaim said about the topic, so it's very unclear what that third statement is all about. The Chachamim Omrim, now we have a fourth possibility. The Chachamim say, yachloiku, that we split it, that we don't really know who owns the property. We're not sure whether this batana was valid or not. And therefore, it's a 50-50. Mona mutu b'safi chokin. So you give half the $1,000 to the yarshim of the sender, half the $1,000 to the recipient. The kanamru. Now there was a fifth opinion in Bavel. Kanamru that in Bavel used to say kol bashi yitz shaliach yaseh, that the shaliach can decide who he wants to give it to. He can't keep it for himself. If he wants to give it to the Levi's heirs, he could do that. If he wants to give it back to the sender, we could do that as well. So we have five different ones. So far from simple, five different possibilities. Either it goes back to the sender, goes back to the Yorshim, some of Mitzvah Kavdim Remes plays a role, or you split it, or Shaliach has a free reign to decide what he wants to do with it. Amr Bishimon HaNossi, Al Yadi HaYamayisa, so Rabbi Shimon HaNossi said that this story happened to me. But Amru, when the Psachim is given, was Yachzul Yorshim Mishalech, like the first opinion, that it goes back to the Yorshim of the Mishalech. So the Gemara is trying to make heads and tails out of the Braisa. My Labakumi, what are they arguing about? There are five different opinions. What in the world is the point? What is the lumbus of this? This is not just an arbitrary machlekes. The Heilige Tanaim, we're trying to figure out what in the world to do with this bizarre case. What are they arguing? What are the issues? So the Tanakam is over. So the simple Pshat in the Braisa is as follows. Tanakama's opinion was holech lav kizachi. That holech is not kizachi, and therefore the matana is betela. Matana is meaningless, it's worthless. Absolutely nothing happened, and simply returned to sender. That's what the Tanakhama says. But the Tanakhama did not address whether the sender is still alive or not. You notice when the Braisa presented itself, the Tanakhama said that the Shliach can't find the recipient, so he just brings it back to the Mishalech. The Tanakhama never says, what do you do if the sender dies? So the Tanakhama says, Holoch Lav Kizachi, but we don't know what they hold about if and when the sender dies. Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov, they added on to the Tanakhama. Now we Holoch Lav Kizachi. They also have the opinion that Holoch is not Kizachi, so the Matana is invalid. The Alpha got the miss, and Rabbi Nosson, Yaakov added, even if the sender died, they deny that principle of mitzvah kandir reis. There's no such halachic entity called mitzvah kandir reis. And therefore, return to sender, and in the absence of the sender, give to the heirs of the sender. That's the Tanakhama we elaborated upon Rabbi Nosson of Yaakov. The Yesh Omen. And the third opinion says, no, holach kizachi. Third opinion says, you give it to the Yershim of the recipient, because the Yesh Omen's opinion was, the word holich means to be zocha. The halach of zocha and the yadam shalom of fun of kicks in, and now that $1,000 belongs 100% to the recipient, i.e. to his heirs. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Om Mishum Yaakov Mishum Rameir holich lav kizochi. That he's splitting, saying that the first tanoim were right. Holich is lav kizochi. Miu heichad the miss, but if the sender died, I mean a mitzvah kandir rameis. So then Rabbi Meir subscribed to the view of mitzvah kandir rameis. And now we have already two different factors here. The reason why we're getting so many different opinions is because there are two different factors that are at play. There's issue number one of holoch kizachi, and then there's issue number two of mitzvah l'kayim de remes. You can split your psach on those things. So according to the Tanakhama, X is true. According to the next opinion, Y is true. According to the third opinion, X and Y are true. So you're getting different opinions based on these factors. Why do they say split? Because they have no idea what the answer to these questions are. They don't know it's holoch kizachi. They have no idea what the din is, and therefore we apply the rule of mamon mutl b'safek cholkin.
Does that mean that the chachamim don't hold mitzvah l'kayim
rameis? They're not sure. They're not sure about it.
They're not sure.
They have to pass it.
Yeah. Sometimes people go, Dr. Becker. Every once in a while, in your medical practice, I assume somebody comes and says, so doctor, what do I have? Do I have a ear infection or not? I don't know.
No, the seized point, that someone comes and says, mace died, what do we do?
They are not sure whether that is a correct halacha. They're not just big guys. What?
In this instance?
No. Whether there's such a principle called mitzvah kandir remes, yeah.
And how do we pass again?
Well, we have one way to go. Did we ever see the word take for the Gemara, right? Take over, we don't know. We're not going to say, okay, we're not sure, so therefore let's make up an answer. No, we're not sure. It's better to say, what does the Mishnah say? So you don't know, say you don't know. Right? We don't know. We're not sure. That's exactly what the Gemara says. The Chum weren't sure. So the Khan Amru Shudad, and in Babel, they also weren't sure. So not only were the Chum and Yerzisol not sure, the Chum in Babel also weren't sure. But there was a machloikis atanoim between the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and the Chachmei. What are you doing? You're not sure. So the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael said, you split it in half. The Chachmei Bubble said, we leave it up to the Shaliach. Let him decide what to do with it. It's his decision.
It's interesting. Gemara gives, like, who says what? Rabbi Yehuda or Meir? It's not just Rabbi Yehuda. It's not, in other words, they give the whole Masorah. So it's not, these are like, a lot of Tanam together.
It's right. It's been going on for hundreds of years, these shams. The whole Kizachim, it's kind of amazed. A lot of stuff flying around. And now, the last opinion, Rabbi Shimon HaNossi, Maisa Asalashminon, that he just holds what happened. He's telling us, Tachlis, I'm telling you, I was there once, and this was a psak that was given, such and such.
What was the spark to say that the Shaliach should decide?
Oh, very good. Okay. That's what's called, the principle called Shuda the Dainis. The Gemara has a few places in Shas. Sometimes we have a situation where we don't know what to do, so we apply this new principle called Shuda the Dainis. What does that mean? That's a big machlokes Rashi in Tosafot. Rashi says that Shuda the Dainis means that we try to use our best assessment psychologically. Did Reuven really truly want Levi to get this president or not? So even though it may not have been done 100% right mechanically in terms of the halacha, but if we really know that Reuven really truly really 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 likes Levi, he grants his yorshim to have this money, then let the shliach just do that. Let him do the dasva, let him go through. Even though api halacha, we don't really know that that's true. So comes the Gemara and says, wow, we had this grandiose presentation of the sugya. We have such lumdos as to what's going on. We have five different shittas, and we were able to stay the whole ship quality to explain what everyone's shita was. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily true. Your presentation, the last 20 lines, may not be right. It could be Bebari de Kuliyama Lepligi, that if Reuven was a healthy guy, so then it could be that nobody says there was any real kidding that took place. It could be that all Tanoim agree the Matana was Botel, or Mufutel, or Sharvel, or Gayam. It's going to go all the way back to the original return to sender. Maybe we misunderstood the case. That maybe this Bryce is talking about a Shchimira. Now remember, if it's a Shchimira, then all bets are off. They're going to get the rules of the game are totally different if it's a Shchimira. The Shchimira doesn't need Kinyanim. So if it's a Shchimira, why there are five different shitas? It should be pretty straightforward. The Gemara is going to attempt to give you the five versions of the shitas, assuming that it was a Shchimira. So everything that we learned up to now was one possible understanding of the Braisa, but there is an equally valid possibility coming around the bend. We just have to wait till Thursday to get to that, possibility. Hopefully that's the Shem tomorrow. We're back to the future. No. You got to write your own Gemara if you want the third. We have enough trouble with the two. Thank you.